got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in.
God, I feel so bad. These poor second-round picks tonight, they're not going to get their dream realized with Roger Goodell announcing their name. We stuck with Brian Bulaga, who, by the way, Jordan Morgan's arm length, 32 inches, 32 and 7/8 inches. You don't want to know how short his arms are? His arms are so short. They're even shorter than Brian Bulaga's, who was measured at 33 and a quarter. Yes, I looked it up last night. It is our favorite short-armed right tackle, live from Detroit, where he'll be announcing Cooper DeJean and Edgerrin Cooper as the second-round picks. Maybe. It is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Well, Jesse's complaining about these poor first-round picks who had someone other than Roger Goodell announce them, and I'm sitting here going, excuse us, but one of our favorite people is announcing potentially two picks tonight. Are we disappointed about that? Because I'm looking forward to those picks and seeing who you get. I'm really hoping you get somebody whose name is really hard to pronounce.
Lou, I got to ask, if you get who's on my post this Post-it note. I don't know if I can get this on there. There you go. Jason, how do you say his first name?
Jerzon.
They call him Johnny Newton.
Jerzon.
Are you going to say Johnny Newton, or will you say Jerzon Newton?
Last name Newton.
Well, I'm pretty sure, they'll give me a rundown of how to pronounce the name or what name the guy wants. I'm pretty sure that's something they go through pre-draft, but if it's a confusing name, from what I've been told, they will break it down for me before I walk out there.
Nice.
Yes, they will break it down so that, like, it's like me trying to break down a word to my first grade daughter. Very simple. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
I hope you get a crazy long name. That's
we're such jerks.
It's fun.
Hey, what is the what is the wardrobe like? Do they tell you what you have to wear? Do you get like a clothing allowance from the NFL because you're going to be on national TV? Like, what are you wearing?
Absolutely. Just a jacket, button down shirt, and just some nice dress pants. I mean, they tell us they want business formal or whatever it's called. I don't know, but a coat. I'm not wearing a tie. I've never been a tie guy. I don't like ties. And Goodell had the shirt open last night. I mean, he was walking out. His shirt was unbuttoned up top. I mean, if he's doing that, I should just be going out there in a pair of jeans and like a hoodie or something. I should be keeping it. I'll keep it business casual, so to speak. A little more dressy, but yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. Obviously, we have no idea what Goody's going to do, right? Like, obviously, he's got four picks tonight. You never know what he does. Obviously, we all can look at it and, see DeJean out there. Kool-Aid is out there. Some guys that fill needs, and you just don't know what he's thinking. And I was listening before I jumped on. You guys are right. These are the rounds where you build your team. These are the foundation rounds. So, four picks tonight. I mean, these are big picks, and what he does with them or what he decides to trade with and acquire people is a big deal. So I'm excited to kind of sit back there and kind of watch this all play out and see what he does.
What did you think about last night's pick, Blue? Because I don't think many of us, we all knew that he was, in that range. But other than Tim in West Hales, or Hales Corner, or East Hales, Jordan Morgan, what did you think? I love the fact that we went O-line, and it looks like this kid's a player.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know much about him. I did a little research this morning. I read up on him. Didn't watch any tape, But, you know, I think if we're looking, I mean, I'm happy with the O-line pick. I think it's necessary. I think it's obviously now direct competition at left tackle this offseason, right? Like, it's going to be a competition to see who's starting at left tackle. We'll see if his skill set is that tackle or if it is that guard. I mean, I think a lot of the things that I read about him was that he needs to improve lower half strength, right? And obviously that's something that if you kick into guard and you don't have that lower half strength, it's going to be a tough deal for you to play guard. So then that means that skill set right now translates directly to tackle. You can get away with things a little bit more if you're still trying to improve lower half strength. But I like the pick. I mean, listen, Barton was out there. I really liked him. I mean, he could have filled a lot of different needs for things that, you know, we had coming down the pipe with Myers on the last year of his deal and things like that. Obviously, Goody saw something in Morgan that he really liked. And, you know, we've got to trust him. We got to see. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a day one type starter or not. We don't know. I haven't watched him. I mean, obviously, once camp comes around, you get to see a little bit how he moves. Everyone says he's a smooth operator, which I think is what you want at left tackle. Obviously, a guy that has smooth sets, good feet. But we'll see, right? Like, this is just one of those things where when you take a tackle that some people predict you could have got him in the second or late second, and you take him in the first, you just got to see how it plays out. And obviously, everyone thinks, oh, well, this is a direct replacement for Dave Bakhtiari. It's really hard to predict that, right? That's really hard to predict that this is a direct replacement for Dave.
So, Brian, take us back to 2010. Tosh was right. You were the 23rd overall pick, but you were in the discussion as a top 10 pick. They were thrilled that you were still on the board at 23. They had these two war horses at tackle. They got Cliffy and they got Tausch. They're both toward the end of their runs, so they draft this tackle out of Iowa, but they don't play him right away. And if Tausch doesn't get hurt, I don't know how much longer it takes for you to get your opportunity as a rookie, right? So what was your mentality coming in, and if Jordan Morgan calls you today, because it's not the same. Rashid Walker is not Cliffy, and Zach Tom sure as heck isn't Tausch. They're both early in their careers as opposed to later in their careers. But if Jordan Morgan calls you today, what are you advising him on as he gets ready for this? Because you got your opportunity, you seized it, but you did have to wait, what, 4 or 5 games before you were even in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I would tell him try to absorb and learn as much as humanly possible as you can. Now, obviously, I had the advantage of having Cliffy and Tausch and seeing guys that did it, have done it for a long time, their experience. They each play a different type of game. Their sets and technique are different, but it's effective, so you kind of get to learn and watch from two different guys that do it different ways, but they're both successful. And to me, that's really great to see because it's not a one-size-fits-all league. Not everyone does the same thing great, and everyone's body movements are different. Like, so it was really good for me to be able to learn from these guys. And obviously, for me, learning the playbook is, you know, like the biggest hurdle going from, at least for me personally, from college to pro. You're learning a whole new playbook, the speed of plays ramped up. There's so many adjustments that happen at the line of scrimmage alone, especially when it was with Aaron. He would just change protections and do things all over the place as he saw fit. So you're trying to process all these things, and then go block Clay Matthews or, you know, and it was, you know, wild for me. So it was really beneficial for me to be able to watch Cliffy and Old T and learn and kind of develop, you know, into a starting caliber tackle. Because when I first got in, yeah, I mean, if something would have happened to either one of them right away, yeah, I would probably have been put in there. Would I have been ready? Probably not. You know, do I consider myself ready to go play right tackle when I never even took a snap there in camp in week 4 against Washington? No, I wasn't ready for that either. But, like, you know what? At least I had some knowledge of what I was supposed to be doing at the time compared to if they would have thrown me in there week 1 at right tackle, I would have been lost. I would have been absolutely lost. So For me, telling him, like, I would, and he, like I said, he doesn't have that luxury of learning from older guys, right? He doesn't have the luxury of having, you know, Cliffy and Tausch or even Dave in there to try to show him some of the ropes. He's got two younger guys. So the best thing would be to, I would tell him to pick Elton Jenkins' brain. He's played tackle. If you have questions, ask that guy. Ask about the communication. Ask about checks. Go to the older guys and really, you know, ask questions and try to learn. Because you got to learn on the job. If you just think you're going to go in there and learn based on playing, you know, taking reps, you're missing half of it, right? You learn from watching. That's the biggest thing that I always found. I learned so much just watching Cliffy and Tausch. And then hearing them talk in the meeting room and just keeping my mouth shut and just hearing Campy talk to them and explain things, that was 50% of the learning, was just keeping my mouth shut and keeping my ears open. And that was, I'm not sure if the college guys are really made that way anymore. I don't know if that's the way they're coming out, that they can just be quiet and listen and absorb. But that would be my suggestion, because you can really develop by taking, like, and it's so coaches speak, right? Like mental reps. And that's what it is. Like when you're not the starter, you take mental reps by watching the older guys do these things. If they make a mistake, you learn from it so you don't repeat it. And that would be my biggest suggestion to them, is just try to absorb as much as you can, as quick as you can. Because there is a chance that he is going to see action, right? Like there is a good chance. There's a good possibility of it. So when you do, you know, get that opportunity, you have to seize it. And the thing is, Walker, now this is motivation for him. Like, don't think for a second that he doesn't look at this as a direct competition and a direct threat to his job.
He definitely should.
Yeah, he absolutely should. So, you know, competition in these situations, especially young guys, this, and good things normally come out of it. So I'm hoping Walker looks at this and Morgan look at this as head-to-head competition, and the best man wins. And I think if you get that, the Packers really walk away as a winner from it. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, so, Blue, I think listening to Goody talk about Jordan Morgan, versatility, four spots, but playing the best five. If, let's say, he is just comes in and is playing great football at left tackle, does Rasheed Walker have another spot? I don't think he can play guard. Am I crazy, or he's going to have to be tackle? Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes. Yeah, he's going to have to play tackle. Yep. So then you look at it from what we've been talking about forever with the offensive line. Now you have depth at a swing tackle that's played snaps, that is played right tackle, he's played left tackle, he's played a lot of snaps. So then you've automatically built depth, veteran-ish depth. Which was my big concern coming into this draft, was that we had no depth up front, right? If someone goes down, we have nobody to step in that has played. I mean, I guess, you know,
Royce Newman.
The backup guard. Yeah, Royce Newman, yeah, which, listen, I'm sure he's a great kid, but, like, we've seen it. Like, you know, that, I mean.
You really, you know, like him.
I've said my piece on it, all right? Like, I'm not gonna continue to go to the well. But it's just, We know what's behind everyone, and there wasn't much there. So now you add, and if he comes in, like Tau said, performs really well in camp, and he wins the job, now you know you have Walker to be a swing guy, to not only provide good depth, but also to continue to push the rookie as the season goes on. Because as we've seen, LaFleur, Butkus, and Steno clearly are not scared to rotate guys in season and mid-game. They will rotate guys. So it keeps that pressure on the young guy to continue to improve, continue to get better, and perform at a high level.
All right. We'll continue with more with Brian. But to your point about Rasheed Walker, too, I think it's important to point out that when Steno threw Yash under the bus for not rising to the competition call, that was also saying that Rasheed Walker did. So now Rasheed Walker has to show that he can do that again against a first-round pick. I do. It was nice that you were able to reach your bottle of water there with those short arms of yours. I do want you to. We give you grief about that. We joke around because you had a great NFL career in spite of that shortcoming, so to speak. Right. So next, I want you to explain what the hell this means, because I didn't realize until really your pick that this was such a big deal. That was what everybody knocked you for. And then you build a decade-long career that you were pretty damn good. And David Bakhtiari, I was looking this up yesterday. His arms were 34 inches. That's still not the that's below average for a tackle in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So Brian is going to help us explain with his little alligator arms why that matters or why it doesn't as we continue with Brian Bulaga live from Detroit, where he will announce the second round picks tonight. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none.
You're continuing with Brian Bulaga. All right, Brian, explain to me long arms and how you overcame this malady to become a good NFL player.
Yeah, you know, as I was going through the draft process, and I was in Indy, and I remember I did the measurements, and I started to hear, like, the talk of, like, that's a big deal. Like, that's, you know, that's a red flag, that's a big issue, and I'm just like, what's the big issue? I remember asking my agent, I'm like, what's the deal? Like, why do teams, you know, continue to like measure my wingspan in the night meeting? Like, I go, what's the deal? And they're like, well, prototypical tackles, you know, they like to see 34 and a half inch arm span or longer. And I'm like, why? Like, what is that? Like, they're like, that's just what they think is great to get onto rushers faster. And I'm like, okay. So obviously, you know, that's something that teams really look for. So
you didn't know you had short arms until you went to the combine.
No, I didn't think anything of it. What does that mean? I was like, what are the short arms? I was like, I don't understand I didn't pay attention to any of that prior to. And listen, there's pros and cons to everything, right? Like, I always looked at it as, yes, if you do have super long arms, when you go to punch or you go to make first contact with that D-end, yes, you could get on him quicker than, say, a guy with shorter arms and all that. The other part of that thing is, normally the guys with very long levers, now obviously there's always exceptions to the rules, they rely on that too much, and there's a lot of reaching and leaning with that, and DNs find those as easy targets to swat, to chop, to use as their advantage as well, because they understand guys with long arms want to get their, you know, punch out first and get their hands on them, so they wait for that, they time it, and they're able to counter that. For guys with shorter arms, yes, we look at it as, listen, if I'm going against Julius Peppers, I know I am not going to be able to get on his body before he does that to me. But the advantage of it is that I'm way more patient. I'm holding. I'm not firing first. I'm very patient. And when that DN decides to bull rush or one-arm stab, I'm able to work my hands back up underneath his as he's closer to me, and I can really latch in tight and pull him in, which is kind of the game I always play. Because, yes, you do go against these guys, you know, the Juliuses, the Daniil Hunters, these guys with super long arms, they're very rangy, and they want to get their hands on you first, but you can counter that with good technique and things of that nature. It's blown up a little bit, honestly. I think people make a big deal about it when there's more than one way to play offensive tackle in the NFL. I believe a guy just got a gold jacket the last Hall of Fame class, name was Joe Thomas. I'm pretty sure he was in the 33, somehow figured it out. You know, it's so hard to play tackle in the NFL with 33-inch arms, and he made a pretty good career out of it. So I always find it kind of laughable when that gets made such a big deal of. It's all about technique and how you play, right? And Tausch has said it a bunch too. Footwork is the key. If you get your body in the right position, you can use your hands, you can use things to your advantage, regardless of arm length. Like, obviously, now, you know, you look in San Francisco, Trent Williams has all the intangibles. Freak show, right? No one's denying that. He is about as good as it gets, and he's got those intangibles. And then you look the flip side, who I just talked about, Joe Thomas, didn't have the same intangibles as Trent Williams and was one of the best left tackles to ever play the game. So there's more than one way to do it. It's just about how you find your way as you get to these NFL teams and you start playing and you start, you know, figuring out which technique and which style of play works for you best. And that's why, for me personally, like I said on the last segment, me getting in to be able to sit behind Cliff and Tausch and see how those guys played and see how they utilized their strengths to their advantage, and even things that they weren't good at, how they were able to use their technique to kind of hide those things. Those are all positive things. So you got to figure out what are your weaknesses, right? And then how can I play in a way that doesn't allow the DNs to take advantage of that? So if it is, I'm a little bit shorter in the arm length, how do I play to not give that advantage away or disadvantage away? And that's the key to it. Like, it's just a measurable, and how do you play? And that's, to me, it's the biggest thing. So it's overblown, but I guess they need something to talk about in these broadcasts. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Again, I always will say, and I'm sure everyone that's played offensive line in the NFL, it's how can I get to play to my strengths if there's 50 dropbacks? I want to have it at 45 or 46 where I am in the position I want to be in. There's always going to be two or three that aren't, and that's mm-hmm. where balance and all of that scrappiness and just fight gets you. Hopefully that's where Jordan Morgan is. All right, Blue, tonight, I think every Packer fan is hoping it's Cooper DeJean, and not just because he's a good player, but because you're announcing it. So I want you to kind of just get a little practice round in. If it is Cooper, let's get you, like, this is your, not an audition, but this is like the pregame show. How are you going to do it if it is Cooper DeJean?
Practice reps.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Because what is it? What do they got? The 41st pick? Is that what it is?
Eight picks, like, left.
As of now,
eight,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I mean, it's just the 41st pick of the 2024 NFL draft. The Green Bay Packers select Cooper DeJean, safety, Iowa. And you just go from there. And that's, you know, that's what I'm hoping for, because, hey, there's nothing more that would warm my heart as another Hawkeye going to the Green Bay Packers. And you're right. He's a good football player. Good football player. He fills a lot of needs for the team, can do a lot of different things. So I'm hoping that's one of the names I'm calling tonight. I'm hoping. But we'll see.
Can you at least give, like, a little wink into the camera or something before you say Iowa?
You're not going to emphasize the Iowa?
Well, that was just a dry run. Just like, you know.
It's not giving away the store now.
I mean, you got to do something.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dry run. You know, my biggest thing is to make sure that I get the pick right, I get the year right, I get the name right, mm-hmm. and then the last thing is Iowa. Right? So, like, let's just. Well, I got to make sure I get all the things right before I get to that college. If that is who the Green Bay Packers select, which I would absolutely love it. Now, we don't know. I mean, they got, what, the ninth pick in the second round?
Correct.
Is that what it is, the ninth pick?
Yep.
Listen, I mean, I don't know if DeJean will make it to that pick. I have no idea. I don't know what needs are
Jason
being had.
There's a trade-up. Well, Jason thinks we're going to see Gutten there and make a little move.
Maybe use a fourth-round pick. So he can get up a little higher so he can get his guy. Yep. And I just.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you a good poker player?
No, I'm terrible.
Because I feel like if it is Cooper DeJean, that you're going to be striding to the podium with a big, you know what, eating grin on your face. And we're all going to know who the pick is before you actually say it.
There's a good chance, yeah. I mean, if I see that name come through the card, yeah, I'm gonna try to. Obviously, I'm not gonna walk up there stone cold face, no matter if it's not him, right? Like, I'll still be excited. I mean, this is kid's big moment, whether it's DeJean or not. This is this kid's big moment. I gotta seem excited for him, and obviously, I am. This is such a big moment for all these kids, you know, lives. The biggest stage, you know, the new start, right? Like, they get their scholarship in college. Big deal, and now here is the next phase. So I'm obviously excited for him, but, like, yeah, I mean, if it's DeJean, I'm gonna have a little little pep in my step. You know what I mean? It's going to be a little. And, you know, the Orange Grove and the Donkeys back in Florida, you know, they're going to be excited about it. But no, I think I'm actually interested to see how it all goes down. Like, Packers are on the clock. Are they going to pull me aside and start being like, okay, like, here's, if it's not him, like, this is how you say his name. Now say it back to me 10 times so we know you don't mess it up. Like, I'm excited to see how it goes. A little nervous, but I'm excited about it. Because, hey, I don't know if there's going to be 250,000 people again at this thing tonight like there was last night. I mean, that's a lot of people. It's a lot of people in that area by the draft stage. 250,000? Like, give me a break. Like, that's insane.
So because you talked so much about how much you learned from Cliffy and Tausch, I am working to find the video when Tausch announced Kingsley Keke as the 150th overall pick.
That's not easy. A few years ago. And then, Blue, the other thing, so you get about a 2 or 3 minute heads up. And we did it. It was Zoom. I think this was COVID era. We Zoomed it. And then they didn't know if he was a D end or a D tackle. So I'm like, well, which one do you want me to say, defensive end or defensive tackle? And it's right up until it. So I think I ended up just going defensive lineman. So there's a lot of, because you don't get the luxury of having 15 to 20 minutes to prep. It's 2 to 3 minutes that you got to get his name, his college, and position of where they're going.
Yeah, like, and if it is DeGene, am I saying safety? Am I saying corner?
Yeah. What
am I
saying? Defensive, like, you know, back.
Punt returner.
Yeah, defensive back.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, ball. Yep. Yeah, so, like, there's some things that I'm a little nervous about, right? Like, obviously, the like Tausch said, the unknown is the scariest part. What if Goody makes a trade and they're like, hey, got to go out there right now. Like, go.
Right.
Like, go right now. And then you're like, what, you know? So, yeah, there's some variables I'm a little nervous about. But
well, and then, Blue, I don't want to get you thinking too much.
But
the other thing is, Leroy Butler, I've seen do this. And when I did it, it was, I said 13-time world champion. Do you want to add a little bit to get your Packer fan fired up?
Yeah.
Or do you want to just go with the generic Green Bay Packers? So is there something you want to add in there? A little Bulaga-ism to sprinkle. There's the that, I don't want to get you thinking more than you should, but I think you should add a little something in there. Add a little spice in there, Blue.
You know, it's funny. We had our little powwow this morning. And they were very like, hey, let's not, you know, read what's on the card. Don't pull any. They're like, don't be pulling anything off the top of the hat. Just what's on the card, let's read it, guys. And everyone's like, okay. It's just like, got it.
Okay,
like, believe me, if there's gonna be a guy who just reads off the card, it's probably
a little spicy. You know what? You're only doing this once, more than likely. Maybe you'll get asked back, but I would say put a little Bulaga-ism in there, too. A
lot of good memories here in Detroit.
Yeah, a lot of good memories. We never lost to Detroit.
Oh, my gosh.
No, we did. We did lose to Detroit.
No, nobody will remember that though.
Well, Brian, I hope we didn't cause you to overthink tonight. You are scheduled to appear with the 41st and 58th overall picks. We'll see if Goody does some maneuvering. We'll get to see. If Cooper DeGene is the pick, I fully expect you, like your neighbors who have Travis and Kelsey as their donkeys, I expect the Bulaga donkeys to be Cooper and Gene when you start your farm down there. Good luck tonight. Thanks for all your insight into Jordan Morgan. You were awesome today, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
All right. Now you got him thinking about sprinklers,
I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to stick with the script. I know Blue well enough. He's going to, but I do think he's going to have some fun with Iowa. I think he has to. It's part of the being Blue.
I think a wink is the way to go. Look in the camera, Cooper DeGene, corner, wink, Iowa.
I hope he winks. That would be awesome.
I just want to hear him say "awa" because the crowd, at least at your local draft parties, maybe not in Detroit, but Packers fans everywhere will get a huge kick out of that. We'll talk more about what might happen tonight. Again, 41, 58, 88, and 91 are the Packers' four picks as of now in rounds 2 and 3. I saw Associated Bank's logo all over Lambeau Field yesterday when I was there for the draft, and that's because they are the official bank of the Packers. And if you haven't made the switch to Associated Bank, now's the time to do it with Packers checking from Associated Bank. You get 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, in-store and online. You get your Packers debit MasterCard. And most importantly, you get the best customer service in the industry. They've got all the awards to prove it. So go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes. So stick around.